Hi there, and welcome to the Kingdom Sexuality Podcast. We're Alana, Kyle, and Tira, friends who have a heart for intimacy and long to uncover God's truth and design for sexual freedom within marriage. Welcome here.
Welcome to another episode of the KS Podcast, and we are so excited that we get to be in person, that you get to see all three of us at the same time in the same room. So I thought we would start out like we normally do and do a review. So this one is, I'm assuming a 5-star review.
It was an Instagram DM.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. It says, hi, KS team. Wanted to leave a quick review. You guys have been such an instrumental part of my marriage journey. I got married several months ago and did not realize how badly I was impacted by the things such as purity culture and other negative messaging about sex while growing up. It wasn't until I was engaged that I started to realize how hard it was going to be to just flip the switch when I am married and suddenly have a great sex life like I was told would happen growing up. While I've been on my journey, it's easy to think I'm alone in my struggles. This podcast has helped me realize these issues are way more common than the world makes us believe. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for being such a safe place to learn and grow. I listen to every episode and send lots of them to my husband. It's a journey and one I'm still on, but this podcast has given me hope and been the best reminder that God wants us to have a thriving sex life within marriage. Thank you for all you do. All right.
Love that.
Okay, so in the verse for today, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4:7.
That's my favorite Bible verse.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, it's a powerful one. Mm-hmm. Like simple words and
Yeah, let's go. Okay.
So today's episode is a Q&A. Alana put out a question box on Instagram and asked you guys, what do you want us to talk about? So we selected, like, I think 10 questions, and we'll just go through them one by one.
Yeah.
Because Tira's never done a Q&A before.
No. That was my first one. Although, if we're doing the same thing like we do in our normal podcast, don't we ask a question?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So we got to do that.
Okay.
Favorite summer memory. I'll go first.
Okay.
So right now, my family is at the lake, like a couple hours away from here, and it's not like a specific memory, but this was my childhood. Every August, we would come up to the lake for 2 weeks, and it was like boat every day, all day, come in for lunch and dinner, and that was it. And it's cool now to be at the same lake with my kids and my family, and now they get to do this.
So, that's super fun.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So cool.
Love that.
Yeah. Favorite one. It's kind of interesting. Like, I had a similar childhood too, where we grew up in Saskatchewan, and then every summer we'd come out here to the Okanagan for our summer. Mm-hmm. And it was the same thing. We didn't have boats or anything fun, but it was going to the beach every day. Like, we'd wake up, bring our books, go to the beach, hang out there, have like a small lunch, and then come back and have a shower, have dinner, and then do the same thing, like pretty much all of August was always, that was really fun.
So fun.
But like now, as I'm a grown up with my own family, I'd say actually this summer has been really good. Mm. So the kids are old enough now that we can actually like engage with them more. So we did a big road trip across Western Canada and stopped, you know, to see a dinosaur museum and the zoo. And we also stopped to see different relatives. And it was really fun. And like, even for myself, getting kind of history of our relatives past, which, because I've never gone like without my parents to some of those relatives, you know, and it's like so different when you come back as an adult and you engage with your own relatives without mom and dad. And so so it's just kind of like a heartwarming but also fun, and watching how much the kids loved doing it all, and we all traveled well, and so that was like all of July. And now that we're in August, now we're home, and it's like, oh, it still feels like we still have another whole month of summer. Yeah. It's not like we didn't spread it out. We just did it all on one trip.
Yeah.
So that was really nice.
Coming back from vacation and not going right back to real life is so nice.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I used to come back on like a Sunday and then have to go to work Monday. Now I try to come back on like a Friday and have the weekend at least reset. It's such a difference maker.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need a vacation from your vacation.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Well, you like get to prep and feel actually like you're ready to go for the week.
Yes.
Okay. For me, so we had a gator growing up. So that's like a side by side.
Oh yeah.
And it had a box in the back. Yeah. And my dad hooked up speakers to it, and so and it made like a bench seat in the back. with cushions and all kinds of stuff. And so we would, me and all my friends, would go in the gator and we would just drive around. We'd drive to the river. We'd drive across fields. We would drive to friends' houses. And my one friend had a pool and we had a hot tub. And so it was just like,
good grief, it's like a party. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Now, did anybody ever get hurt?
No.
I feel like how many of you would fit on there?
We could put a cushion in the middle on like the shift stuff. So there was 1 to 3. I mean, we could fit like 9 people on that thing.
Okay. Now having kids, would you let your own kids do that?
I think maybe. It doesn't like, it's like the speed that it goes is like, is it that dangerous? I don't know. Okay. It goes like a decent speed, but I don't know. I'm surprised we didn't ever get hurt.
Yeah.
But it was great. It was awesome.
That's awesome.
We had like freedom to like roam, but we would just like crack sunflower seeds and listen to like hits. Like it was the best. Yeah.
Yeah. So you weren't a rebel, so it was okay.
No, it was just really lighthearted and like innocent. So that was great.
Yeah.
All right. On to the questions. So first question, how to address guilt when accepting or asking husband to help wife climax after husband? So the wife is feeling guilty asking for an orgasm after her husband has already finished.
Oh,
I would kind of be curious if this wife has never actually communicated. Like, is it the guilt of thinking of doing
selfish?
Yeah. You know, like, because you can feel the guilt before you even ask, thinking, oh, you know, that doesn't feel, I'm going to feel too guilty. Right. Whereas if you just asked and he was like, oh, yeah, totally.
Or you just plan to get your orgasm before he orgasms.
That was going to be my suggestion, is why not just have you finish first, right? Have him prioritize you, whether that's oral, manual, whatever it is, to get you there first.
Yeah.
And then he can finish.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't sound like it's a problem for him to finish.
Yeah.
Right? There's also one of the books that I read, they suggested like even before you start, you can say what your gameplay is going to be for that one. Is it like, are you coming first? Am I coming first? Like,
right, like, so like it's actually not dependent like, on, like, it's not the same every single time necessarily.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, hey, this time, what do you think?
Yeah. And then and then you both have the expectation even ahead of time or
communication.
But I still think communication would be really important in this to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you should still talk about it and be like, hey, I've been feeling kind of, I don't know how to feel about this. Can we talk about it?
Yeah.
See, you know, can we, you know, help me to come before you do? Just so we negate those problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not left wondering.
Yeah.
Like, don't, and also, women, you should never feel guilty asking for your pleasure to be, like, taken into consideration.
Right.
Or prioritized, right? Like, we always say, everyone who wants an orgasm gets an orgasm. So,
yeah.
That, don't feel guilty for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Okay, next one. Thanks. How to communicate that I want him to do a chore without nagging. I feel like I do so much more than he does.
Yeah. So listen to our keeping score episode.
Yeah, that one's
because
a good one.
We talked about this in there, because that's one of the like one of the biggest things in a marriage we came to realize that people are keeping score of is one of them was amount of household duties they're doing. And so I think, and something too is helpful, which we mentioned in that episode, if you haven't listened, was framing it as, hey, like we have these things to do. Can we do these things?
Yeah.
Like, these bathrooms need to get clean today. Can we each take a bath? You know, I don't know, just kind of changing the posture of how you're bringing it. But also I think if maybe he, like, are you giving him the opportunity to do these things, or are you just taking over and doing them?
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of different things at play that could affect kind of how is this going. But yeah, I think just.
Also, I would say, like, from the husband's point of view, are you taking into consideration the things that he does do, like, outside of the household, right? Like, not, like, again, it's kind of keeping score, but is he doing things outside of the household that are, like, a big contribution to your family in a way? Like, not necessarily that like he makes money, but maybe he, whatever, does the finances, keeps the vehicles in order, like, all the other stuff. Like, don't necessarily negate that just because you're focused on the household. I'm not saying that he shouldn't help out.
Yeah.
Obviously he should, but I'm saying, is he maybe doing more in other areas that you're not giving him any consideration for?
Kind of having tunnel vision on like the one thing.
Yeah.
Especially if you're feeling exhausted and stuff, it's easy to, you're not helping me out with XYZ.
Yeah.
When he could actually be saying the same thing.
Right.
You know,
totally.
You're a team that's and come at it teamwork. Yep.
One thing we did is Sam, we like came up with a note in our phone. And so it just has things. So if I'm ever like, how can I help out right now? I just open it up and it's like, oh, you can do these things, dust the blinds, like the things that just don't really get done, but go ahead and do them. So when I'm feeling like I'm not contributing, I'll just open up like, hey, what can I do? Laundry always needs to be done. Check the dishwasher, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Ken has mentioned it a few times to do that. He's like, I just don't know what to do when you're...
That's the thing is, I don't know what to do. I don't look at my house and see it the way Sam sees it.
Right.
Yeah. She looks at it and sees da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and I'm like, how do you see that? I don't see any of that.
Right.
And so now it's like, I don't need to see it that way.
Right. Or you don't need to be like, what should I do, Sam? Because then she probably feels the guilt of like... Or like, maybe not guilt
the pressure is the right word, but I need to give you something to do.
Like, can't you just see what you need to do? Like, why do I have to tell you what to do? Right? Yeah. Like that attitude of it. So,
and it also feels better when the person is doing something without you having to ask.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Love that. Okay. How do I handle childhood sexual trauma and how it's affecting my sexual intimacy?
Our counseling episode finished with this question, I think.
Oh.
So go back and listen to that one. It's like 130 something. We'll link it in the show notes. Yeah. But Dr. Josh Cruz, he addressed this question there. And he'll have a much more professional answer than any of us will.
Yeah. No, but I'm not.
I think the biggest thing here is make sure that the trauma has been dealt with the help of a professional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Counseling.
Yeah.
This is going to need counseling to be overcome and not let it negatively affect the sexual intimacy.
Yeah.
Present day.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Cool. Can a Christian woman be a user on Feet Finder to make extra cash?
Is this even a debate? Are we all saying no?
I would say no.
Like,
I don't think you should be using any part of your body
for somebody's fetish.
For someone else's pleasure that's not your husband.
Yeah.
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 I think this is like a no-brainer. No.
Yeah. Okay. Next one. When to know you're done having kids.
Mm.
So again, we also have an episode. That was my first episode ever.
Yeah. The whens and ifs of family planning. Yep. With Tira Reid.
Yep.
It's like a TV show. Someone's going to read you a story.
Yeah, that was cute.
Yeah. But I mean, the biggest one was like, I mean, however many kids you can take care of well and faithfully disciple and, yeah, capacity wise, what are you at? You know, is it good for your marriage? Is it good for the other siblings in the family?
Mm-hmm.
All of that stuff. And pray about it. Yeah. Like, that's the biggest one. Because that's, I know it can definitely be a hard decision to make and to come to.
Totally.
Yeah. Cool.
Sexy or slutty? That's the question. And then the comment was, my wife thinks they go hand in hand. I tried to tell her that is not the case.
Hmm.
Heart of Dating put out a post, I don't know, maybe 2-3 months ago. And it was titled, Can Christian Women Be Sexy? And their conclusion is basically my answer, which is, it depends on your heart posture.
Yeah.
What are you doing the thing that can be seen as sexy or slutty? What is your reason and your heart posture behind doing it?
Yeah.
We can discuss this, but I don't think that you can. Can you be slutty if it's just for your husband? Or is that just if your husband finds what you're doing sexy, is that then just sexy? Because if what you're doing is for your husband, I would say that's just sexy.
I'm wondering if this is perhaps like when they're going out on a date or when they're out in public, like what is perceived as sexy or slutty? Like, are there things that you consider like are too far, you know, like a super short skirt, where I'm like, well, I'm out with my husband. I can do whatever I want. Or does it come across as slutty because you're like, whoa.
Right. See, I would.
Right.
I don't ever want my wife to be in anything that someone else could say is slutty in public.
Yeah. Okay.
But if she's in that in the context of her and myself, I would not call that slutty. I would call that sexy.
We're like in your home, not out and about somewhere.
Yeah.
Like just, okay, funny story. Well, not funny, but the other day Sam had on tights, and usually when she almost never goes out in tights. She's very
Leggings?
Yeah, yeah. She's okay. Very anti leggings in public, unless she has a long shirt that covers her bum.
Right.
Yeah.
And she went out in something the other day, and she didn't have her bum covered. And I was like, I like this.
Yeah.
But if I like this, what other guys are liking this right now? And she didn't do it on purpose. It was total like forgetful thing. I was like, it was the first time where I realized my discomfort with my wife being like that in public. So
this is probably hugely dependent on the person, but I think some things, like you think of like Halloween costumes, right? Like some of them you're like some of them are just like titled like slutty nurse or whatever. Yeah, like there's like those, that's just like how it's, that's what it's called. Right. And so it's like, I don't know. So I think it, I don't know. I don't know how to, there's a difference between sexy and slutty, because something can be super modest, super covering, and still be very sexy.
Well, here's the thing. Couldn't you wear that slutty nurse costume for your husband in the bedroom? And would it be slutty in that context, or would that be doing something sexy for your husband?
The latter.
Right? That's definitely what I'm saying. Like, I don't think you can be slutty for your husband in the context of you two in privacy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, right. For sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Done.
There we go.
What defines emotional intimacy? What is an emotional affair? So we interviewed One Extraordinary Marriage on episode, I think it's 97. And they talked about this, emotional intimacy and sexual intimacy. And so I went to their website and I just stole their definition. So they define emotional intimacy as a closeness created through sharing each other's feelings, thoughts, and desires. This is both verbal and nonverbal communication.
I think that kind of makes sense.
And then in the same article, they go on to talk about like some signs that your marriage does not have emotional intimacy. And so they list out five different things that five different signs that you might not have emotional intimacy in your marriage.
Okay. Yeah, let's do it.
Your spouse looks at their device more than they look at you. Right? It's hard to develop emotional intimacy and share your thoughts, feelings, and desires when you don't have your spouse's attention. Your conversations are short or shallow. Same type of thing. Like you can't, sharing your thoughts, feelings, and desires is not a short or shallow
thing. That requires like in-depth conversations and time.
You find it hard to be vulnerable and share those thoughts.
Makes
sense. So like a safety thing almost, I guess, or like a,
maybe
a trust.
Trust.
But
just, the ability to be vulnerable or even just,
and just like sit in the moment of like letting time.
Like
I think lots of those require just intentional time.
You're afraid you will be met with judgment or annoyance. And lastly, they say you never know what your spouse is thinking because they don't share that with you. One of my, I don't like awkward silence. Especially in like if Sam and I are just together. Whereas for her, that is peaceful. But for me, I'm like, we got to talk about something. We're wasting time here. We could be doing like whatever. And so I, my favorite question to ask her is, what are you thinking right now? Because I'm always curious. Like if there's nothing going on, like, what are you thinking about? And sometimes she'll say nothing. And I'm like, it's impossible to think about nothing. You cannot physically sit there and think about nothing, because even if you're thinking about nothing, you're thinking about the nothing.
But don't men have a nothing box?
That is what I've heard.
That's what I've heard. There's a thing. Women don't have a nothing box. Men can go in a place like, in their minds that they're not thinking about anything.
Not this one.
Maybe I'm the weirdo.
Whereas I'm always thinking about something. I don't know if I'd have, I don't know. I don't think I have a nothing box in my mind.
No.
Some people do.
For the emotional affair part of this question, I looked up, I had to Google it because I didn't know how to word this nicely. So I found two different definitions. One was, an emotional affair is when you develop emotionally intimate relationship with someone who is not your spouse. Another definition, an emotional affair is a non-sexual relationship involving a similar level of emotional intimacy and bonding as a remote romantic relationship. So same kind of thing. Like yeah. You have the same level of...
But it would be probably of the opposite sex,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yeah.
Because like friendship
yeah,
no, is no, different.
No, yeah, for like, sure, yeah.
Yeah. You're having a, like, an intentional relationship, agreed. But it's not...
Agreed, agreed.
Affair. Agreed. But yeah, if you're just having like private conversations with someone all the time, or like how people have like a work wife or a work husband, right? Which yeah. is another topic for another day.
Yeah.
But yeah. So like when people are like chatting online with people who, oh yeah, I've just reconnected with a friend or whatever, but then they like create that where you're like divulging things or secrets or sharing your heart. That you should
your
maybe
thoughts,
be sharing.
Feelings and desires.
That right? you should be yeah. sharing with your spouse.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Okay. It's a no-go.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't.
Don't do it.
All right, next one. How to deal with friends that seem to judge you for being so open to talk about sex.
Ooh. Is that like specific to us or just people in general?
Oh, you think they're asking us how yeah. we deal with...
Yeah, like, do people judge oh. us for being so open to talk about sex? Or is it, like, people are like, what do I do if someone's judging me?
I think the latter, what you just right. said. Someone okay. else is asking how they deal with it in their own life.
Okay. I don't know.
You were the only one of the three of us that was on the episode that talked about this.
When? What episode?
You guys did the how to talk to your friends about sex episode.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, and so many people, because we worded it. How to talk about sex with your friends. How to talk. I don't know. The way we worded it, we got messages. People like, I don't get it. What is this episode about? So it was worded differently. I don't know if we talked about... I think a part of it was making sure that whoever you are discussing this stuff with, that they're a safe place and that you're being really intentional and like picky about who you are sharing information
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
Because if you're just sharing it with anybody, like that's not a safe place, right? You don't know what they're going to do with that information. Yeah. You don't know if they're a safe person who's going to be encouraging you in that or not. And so I think just making sure you know your friends, like who you're actually talking to, because you're not just talking to anybody. Like yeah. maybe like depends who you're talking to about this, like who would be judging you. Like it's like your best friend being like, that's super sketchy that you're talking to me about this. Then maybe you have a conversation yeah. like, hey, like, I think there actually is a lot of benefit to in a safe place. If you're comfortable with it, talking about these things, if you're not comfortable, just let me know. And we can not totally, have these conversations.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd also be curious too, like, what are you talking about sex? Is there a purpose to you talking about, you right. know, like if you're, I don't know, perhaps you're coming across as like, oh, my sex life is so good.
Right.
And these are the things that are work. And yeah, people are like, okay, well, stop talking about it already.
Or maybe you're sharing information that's like way too explicit.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah. hey, this is not for me to hear. Right. Yeah. So I think maybe listening to that episode and you get a better idea of, I think we worded well, how to kind of have those conversations, what you can talk about, what's okay, what's not, briefly. Like it was kind of like a framework.
Right.
Yeah.
Not like specifics, but
yeah.
I mean, I'm all about like if there's confrontation, just like deal with it head on. So if you feel like this friend is judging you, I would have no problem being like, hey, I feel like whenever sex comes up in our conversations, right. you shy away or you're judging me because I'm comfortable with it. Like if yeah. you're not comfortable with it, let me know. But I feel like I'm being judged here. And then
yeah,
conversation. Yeah. But yeah. that's not easy to do for a lot of people because
right.
confrontation is not a fun thing to no. deal with for no. a lot of people. Yeah.
I would maybe word it as like, you seem uncomfortable.
Right.
When these topics, like, I don't know if I'd be like able to outright be like, are you judging me? Because I don't think I could say yeah, that. Fair but enough. I'm like, maybe you're a bit uncomfortable about this. Like,
yeah.
do you not want to talk about this? Because maybe they've got stuff in their own life that they're
yeah, I was going
to
say, feeling. You never know what people are going through. Yep. And lots of people, you know, don't like to talk about what has happened to them or it's triggering
yep.
for something that has happened. And so when you're not, you know, when they keep hearing, they may portray judgmental thoughts towards it. So,
right.
Yeah. So there might just be some people that you just
yeah
don't do it with. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Oh.
Did we do them all?
We've gone through them.
I thought you skipped a bunch. That's why.
No.
Oh, wow. Okay. We're done.
Cool. We did it. All right. Who wants to pray?
Okay. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time that we get to share together. Thank you for the listeners who are here with us. I just pray that they will have gotten some little nuggets here and there. And I just pray that you'll bless the relationship this week. And as we go about our week, amen.
Amen.
Hey friends, thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you like our content, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. And tell your friends too. Thanks so much for journeying with us today as we tackled the hard questions and dive deep into godly intimacy. Make sure you follow us on Instagram to see more of our content and check the show notes for any links we might have mentioned in today's episode. We're so grateful to be on this journey with you, and we can't wait to see you in the next episode.